أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. Last week we discussed about أعمال up to عرفات. That was when Hajis will wear Ihram again and leave to عرفات. And I spoke about Arafat and what it is about and what is behind these rich physical rituals that we do in Arafat, and that I concluded and reminded to myself and everyone else that Arafat, the root of the word is Irfan and knowledge and learning. And then from there I spoke to you about what is to be learned, and then I gave you some Ahadith of Imam Ali alayhi salam and Imam Rizā, that learning, every learning and any learning must be in the way of Tawheed, and in Tawheed and with Tawheed, as we read in some of Du'as and Ziyarats for A'imma alayhi salam, we call them arkan al-tawhidik. We tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, arkan al-tawhidik, that A'imma are pillars of the tawhid. Then I went into the issue of Qadir, and I gave you some notions about how when there is everything, in everything, if there is imperfection and naqs, and going towards perfection and kamal, that is when things get to their kamal, that is when their naqs and imperfection is removed. And that in Qadir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells to the Prophet, Al-Yawm akmaltu lakum dinakum, today I completed your religion. That basically and very clearly, without beyond any ambiguity which has been created nowadays, in, and that is Allah is telling that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's addressing him, that for 23 years you were teaching people how to do salat, how to do jihad, how to do zakat, how to perform their other ibadats and things, but today is the day that I am completing your religion. All of those things were to reach to this point. All of these things, all of the teachings of you, this is Allah to Prophet. أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. Look at the meaning of it, is whatever you have taught to your ummah has been for today, which is the fruit of this religion. The fruit of the religion is velayat. And I was asked by somebody last week that when you talk, when you say about velayat, when it comes to our different a'mal like salat, the question was, in salat, how does that affect my salat? How should I look at my salat when I'm believing into velayat? And my answer to that was, I thought I shared this with you as well, is it is not that in any of our ibadats in particular we say anything about velayat, but it is the type of Allah and creation and the relationship of Allah with Wali and Velayat and A'imma that will affect our state of mind, and that is when we say Allah Akbar and stay in front of Allah, we bring to mind this is the type of Allah and this is the type of awliyaullah that we have. That's all. Imam Ali alayhi salam says in one of his khutbahs, that an ant, that little animal, because he has got two little, I don't know what to call it, horns here on his head, an ant will think that his God has got also two horns. So that means whatever we are, that is the way we think about our Allah. So if we can develop and graduate our knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and about the wali of Allah and about velayat and awliyaullah, that is how, thank you very much, that is how our notion will change during this, during all our ibadats. What I have prepared for this week is, I do not start with a'mal this time, I start with a little bit of philosophies and secrets behind some of the a'mals that we do, and then I'll get into Mash'arul Haram, which is our next stop, our next a'mal. One thing which is important when we do become muhrim and we wear our ihram, we have to remember that wearing ihram is not only that physical ritual that we wear a cloth. We have to wear ihram in different awalim. We have different awalims. Wearing ihram means that you put aside, we become naked from all our clothes of sins, and we are wearing a cloth of an ahd and a promise and pledge with Allah. So this is one. The physical side of it is what you wear here, and that is also has got another notion in alam-e-khiyal, that means imaginations, that, oh Allah, I unclothe myself, take off my clothes in alam-e-khiyal, that is imaginations that I have made for all my beliefs. Most of our beliefs, a lot of our beliefs, is based on imagination. seems, I mean, then this, but I'm telling this to myself too, to every one of us. But they have different levels in that. That imagination of that ant which thinks about his God as a God with two horns, that is the type of somehow God that I have made for myself. That's some type of valley that I have made for myself. So I take off my ihram in alam al-khiyal, so I do not go by imaginations. That I also have to do it in alam al-aql as well. That is higher alam. In alam al-aql is I take all those intellectual things that I have learned which have been batil. So I go and try to learn those knowledge of Allah the way A'imma alayhi wasalam they have said it to us. Which is all in Quran, of course. And but it comes to us, mostly we read the verses of Quran, but a lot of meanings and interpretations we hear from A'imma. That's the way we have to learn those ma'arif in those levels. Remember, if you all know that in a lot of this a'mal we do, number 7 have a big input into all of those. We have 7 shot or tawaf. We have got 7 times sa'i between Marwa, Safa and Marwa. We have got 7 stones hitting to shaitan. See, what is this 7? Why we do this in 7? What is this number to do? This refers back to the we as human beings in our existence and in our wujud, we have different levels of being. We do not have only one level. In us, we have 7 types of wujud. There is hadith, you might have heard this hadith, that Jahannam has got 7 doors. And Jannat has got 8 doors. So these are all referring to the same thing. Those 7 things are referring to the 7 potencies in human beings' nafs. That is the 5 senses. So we can go, God forbid, we can go to Jahannam through the eyes. We can go to Jahannam through our ears, depending on whether we are hearing and listening proper things. We can go to Jahannam by our touch, and by taste, and by smell. So all these 5 senses have got an input in our level of wujud. And number 6 is our imagination. Every one of us in our nafs, we have got a potency or quwwa which is called imagination, that we with which we imagine about things. And the 7th potency or 7th quwwa in us is wahm. Wahm is different from imagination. Wahm is whatever which relates to me, whenever I individualize things to myself, that I'm using wahm. Whenever, for instance, when I say my money, my car, my child, my city, when I refer to things and with that feeling that about myself, that ego, that things which is in me, that comes from the quwwa with the power of wahm in me. And it is said, Sultan of Wahm, the king of wahm is what? Shaitan. King of Wahm is the devil. It is him who made me think everything for myself. But as opposed to using my Wahm and wanting things for myself, I can ask universal things. I can ask good things for everyone. I can ask health and sihat for all the Muslims. I can, if you look at the dua of A'imma alayhi wasalam, you will see in their duas, they are always asking for all the Muslims, for all the humanity. That is because they are in a state of universal state. They are in alam al-aql when they are talking to Allah. So these 7, number 7 has the relationship and the secret with those 7 things in us. So in every round, we have to think and talk to Allah and do istighfar of the sins of, for instance, eyes. For second, for the sins of my ears. The third showed I ask istighfar for the sins of my touch. And similarly, I go to my sins of my imagination and my wahm. And sins of my wahm is when I am selfish and I want everything for myself. There are other types of the Urafa and Ulama, they have also talked about this number seven in different way. They have, because there is also another way of, there is another categorization of nafs, in which, I don't want to go to it, I just name it so that if you heard, you read somewhere else, you know, there are other things are there, which is, one is nafs, that's one level of our wujud, and one is aql. Second, third is qalb. We have qalb in our wujud. I'm not talking about the physical thing. And then this is our ruh. Number four is our level of ruh. Number five is our level of secret, sir. In Arabic they call it sir. And khafi and akhfa. Of course those things we don't understand, is beyond my understanding and a lot of us. Those levels of khafi and akhfa belongs to A'ma alayhi salam and Anbiya, and is there, and it is in their levels. So the other thing that I wanted to remind you, when we are doing, we are going to Kaaba and doing Tawaf, we have to see why, what is particular in this particular place on the earth, Kaaba. Why here? Why not Masjid al-Baytul Maqdas? Why not Masjid al-Aqsa or any other place? If you see in Mafati al-Janan, in A'mal of Zilqada, on the 25th of Zilqada, there is an A'mal is called, or the day is called, Dahful Arz. Dahful Arz, Dahf means expansion, and Arz means earth. What does that mean? I think there is in Quran, وَالْعَرْضِ إِذَا دَحَاهَا, and there is another one, وَالْعَرْضِ إِذَا تَحَاهَا, which is the similar meaning. وَالْعَرْضِ إِذَا دَحَاهَا means the earth, and when it was expanded. So apparently on this day of 25th of Zilqa'dah, first, because we know that the whole earth has been under the water, the whole earth has been full of water, and the first place which came out of the water was the first tip of the earth, which came out of the water, was under the Kaaba. And from there, from under the Kaaba, earth started to expand. That is what is referred to Dahful Arz. Arz was expanded. If you take this to a consideration, and also another fact that insan, as being the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is his start, the start of insan is from universe of matter, is from the earth. We have to have been in alam madde so that we could have started our life, so that we could have grown from matter to where Allah says we can become higher than angels. So insan, for this particular creation, matter and earth was required, because we are not like angels. We are not created in alam akh as such. We are not created in alam khiyal. We are not there. We have to have a physical place to start. So that this is a very comprehensive topic. I do not want to go to it. You can look at it in Baqarah, Surah Baqarah, and Ayahs 30 to 34, 5. It talks about this issue, but I mean, not, we can refer to that to explain this. But I only tell you this much of it, that for insan to come to start its life, insan to come to being, the earth was needed. So that is probably one of the reasons that we take this so sacred, this place on the earth, we take it so sacred, the Kaaba itself. So we go around it and we do tawaf. We believe there is nothing in the universe as coincidence. There is no coincidence. Nothing starts coincidentally. For Allah, everything has such a minute and the finest planning is there for everything. So it is not by chance and randomly that Allah has asked Hazrat Ibrahim to start here. Although it is said that Hazrat Adam first time started Kaaba. But it has a bearing in the meaning of it. We have to look at the meaning. Probably the other notion that we can think of is why we go to Mash'ar, we go to Arafat and Mash'ar and Mina. Again, there is hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that when earth started to come off the water, it started from the underneath the Kaaba and first expanded towards Arafat and Mash'ar and Mina. That's the masir, that's the direction that the earth has started. So we are probably another way we are respecting, we are honoring this opportunity that was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that insan could start its life. And how it started the life? It first started from Kaaba and then grew to Arafat, Mashar and Mina and then the rest of the place. So this notion has got a bearing in the reason that why we do this. We go to these places. The other notion that it's related to my last week's topic, I just mentioned it quickly and passed, that was to the issue of Velayat. That is, I relate all this also to the fact that Imam Ali alayhi salam was born in Kaaba. It was not coincidental. It was not we think that, oh yes, the mother of Salamu alaykum. The mother of Imam Ali was passing by and then coincidentally Kaaba was opened and then, you know, it's not like that. This is, behind all of this there is plan, there is meaning and there is notions and lessons that we have to take. So, this is very, of course, very spiritual topic. I do not want to go into it, but I may, inshallah, in other classes that we have, sometime we discuss about this issue. But, the starting of Kaaba, the starting of the earth, of our place to start, with the starting of Imam Ali alayhi salam's birth in the same place, must have a meaning. They are not coincidental. So, the other thing that I also remind you of the meanings behind this, we have to remember, Kaaba is only a physical place. We go around, of course it is called Baytullah, but we all know it's not that Allah is in that place. That is a physical symbol of Allah's house. There is hadith that it's in Arabic they say muhazad, fil muhazad or bil muhazad. In Farsi we say, in English say in parallel. Parallel to Kaaba in the sky, there is a house called Baytul Ma'mur. Baytul Ma'mur is parallel to Kaaba. In Baytul Ma'mur, what happens? There, Malaika are doing tawaf of Baytul Ma'mur. I read this hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Says, Tuf wa ghalbik. I'm not sure it's tuf or tef with pain. But either way, the meaning, I'll explain the meaning. Tuf wa ghalbik ma'al malaikata hawlul arsh. Katawafika ma'al muslimin binafsika hawlul bayt. Do tawaf with your heart, with the angels, around arsh. So, how can we do tawaf around arsh? How can we do that? Malaika and angels, they are creatures which are mujarrad. Mujarrad means they have no association with matter. They are not born into this universe of matter. They are from the universe of aql and intellect. So, for us to be able to do tawaf with malaika, we have to disengage ourselves. Disengagement means becoming mujarrad. How do we become mujarrad? That means we keep aside from us, we keep away from the materialistic wants and needs and wishes and wills. So when we are doing tawaf, we have to be, when we go from the time being start, we have to be totally surrounded to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all of our focus and thinking should be around the amal that we are doing. So that, inshallah, we forget about, we have to keep the materialistic needs and wants to minimum. Of course, we cannot totally disengage 100% because we are born in the universe of matter, we need them. But we have to minimize them. That is, when we minimize them, we are able to move from this level of wujud to go to a higher level of wujud. When we go to a higher level of wujud, then we have made commonalities with angels because they are mujarrad. We become partly mujarrad, partly disengaged, so we feel closer to angels. That is how this hadith can be practiced and how this hadith can be actualized about us. And remember, when I said about Baytul Ma'mur, the malaika are around it. Also, parallel to Baytul Ma'mur, there is Arsh of Allah. So, Arsh is in the universe of Aql. Baytul Ma'mur is in the middle, and Baytullah al-Haram is in, or Kaaba is in on the earth. So these are same things in different levels. I finished my talk about this, some of the secrets of our Hajj, and I remind myself once more that there is no secret higher than and more than and greater than that I understand the issue of wilayat in Hajj. And we all know that Imam Zaman alayhi salam in every Hajj is there. And we, the more we can make commonality between us and Imam Zaman alayhi salam, there is more likelihood that we can probably see Imam Zaman. It is not something impossible, but it takes a lot of work and disengagement. For Muhammad al Muhammad salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. I run into issue of a'mal. The next thing after Arafat is we start to go from the midnight of 9th of Dhul-Hajjah, they start to take us towards Mash'arul Haram or Muzdalifah. Mash'ar, again, it can be Ismul Makan and Ismul Zaman. Both of them we can take it. Mash'ar comes from the place of shu'ur. Sha'r or shu'ur is conscious, that are awareness. So it is a time for shu'ur and it is a place for shu'ur. Whether you take it in Ismul Makan or Ismul Zaman. So Mash'ar is also similarly when we continue from Arafat towards Mash'ar, we go there, we want to be aware, we want to be in our shu'ur, we want to be in our conscious about what we are doing. And the wajib part of Mash'ar is wuquf, that we should have stayed there from Tulu' al-Fajr until Tulu' al-Shams. This is the time of the wuquf. Mash'ar al-Haram is, when we are there is also boundaries for, it is said, the bidayat of Mash'ar and Nahayat of Mash'ar, we have to make sure between these two times we do not go out of these boundaries so that we have stayed in Mash'ar. In Mash'ar al-Haram, there is a lot of mustahab, azkar and zikr, which are mustahab. And the only wajib part, as I said, is niyat, that you are there, and also wuquf. And also people collect their stones in Mash'ar. The stones that must be thrown to shaitan pillars. It is mustahab, but it is not wajib. You can take it from other places. The only place that you cannot take your stones from is the stones which are used in Mina itself. The people have used their stones thrown towards pillars of shaitan. You cannot use the same stones anymore. You cannot do it in Arafat as well. It should be, thank you very much, mate. It should be taken from the hudud of haram. Hudud of haram, Arafat is outside of hudud. But Mash'ar and Mina are inside the mahdude or hudud or boundaries of haram. Then when we finish Mash'ar al-Haram, after Tulu' al-Shams, after the sunrise, we start to go, it's very close, there is only one place which is called Wadi al-Muhassar, between Mash'ar al-Haram and Mina, which is about 300 meters, I read. So that part, I think mostly a lot of people just walk it. It's quite close. And that is the beginning, this is the day of Eid. Eid al-Adha or Eid al-Ghurban. So we go to Wadi al-Mina or to the place which is called Mina. There are certain amal which are required for the Eid day. Those are hitting last shaitan pillar or Jamaratul Aqaba, Aqaba or Uqba. So the other thing is qurbani or slaughtering of the animal. That is also another amal of the Yawm al-Eid in Mina. There is another thing which is called taqsir, which is cutting the nail or a piece of hair of head. And for the first timers, most of the ulama, fitwas and verdict is they have to do halq. Halq is shaving the head. But second timers and most, they are not, it's not compulsory for them to do that. So these three a'mal are a'mal of Yawm al-Adha, Ruz al-Eid, the day of Eid. And there are certain things about it, I go and explain. The stones that I said that the stones that we collect for heating the shaitan pillars must have been from, not from Arafat, from Haram and the boundaries of Haram, which Muzdalifah or Mash'ar al-Haram and Mina are there, and also from Mecca itself it could have been collected. The stones must be the first time being used. We cannot use the stones of other people who have used it in Mina. Stones should be mubah, means it should be your own stone. Either you should have collected it yourself by your own hand, or somebody has given it to you. You can get it from people by their own free will, they give it to you. You cannot see stones of other people and just take it and throw it to the shaitan. It must be yours. Number of stones that should hit the pillars must be 7. No more, no less. So, if we are not sure, sometimes, because there are so many stones being thrown there, sometimes we cannot see whether our stones get lost in the stones of other people, cannot see whether they hit or not. If we are doubtful, we have to continue until we are certain that 7 is hit. Those 7 stones that are hitting are not necessarily to hit consecutively, one after another. You might throw 2 of them, hit this pillar, and your 3rd and 4th does not hit, then again you have to throw another one and throw another one, but 7 of them must hit the pillar of shaitan. But it is possible that between them, some of them may not hit, so you do not count them as the numbers, number 7 that you need. After you have done this during the stone throwing, people do say takbir and Allahu Akbar when they're doing it. After this is finished, the next thing is sacrifice, that animal slaughter. Of course, it is not possible even for men, let alone women, that everyone goes to do a slaughtering of animal by himself. There are usually from each caravan, there are a few people that they are familiar with it, they can do it, they get niyabat from the other people, they become naib. So we give them the permission, or we ask them that please you do it on our behalf. So they have to go and learn. There are certain conditions for the animal that they choose. I have not brought it here and I'm not sure about it, but they go and learn it. That animal should not be so weak or so this or like that. There are certain things, I'm sure it has got its own ahkam. Please, those who are going to do it, go and learn it. Because remember, if you do not learn it, and God forbid if you make mistake, you are taking responsibility of the whole caravan. All those people are giving you this thing to do, you become responsible. I'm not frightening you, I'm just making you aware of its importance to learn. And when taqsir is, when an animal is slaughtered, we have to do taqsir. But remember, until and unless the people who have gone to do the animal slaughtering or qurbani, until they inform you that it is done, you cannot do taqsir. So you do not just assume that it's 3 hours that they have gone, so they must have finished it by now, so I can do my taqsir. Taqsir is after the animal slaughtering or qurbani is done. Make sure they call you by phone, or either they give information to somebody, or some of them come to us and they tell us, yes, we have done it, then we can do taqsir. And taqsir is the same taqsir that we all know, is cutting the hair, as I said it, and or cutting the nail. And when we have done taqsir and taqsir is finished, we can We become free from certain of those things which was become haram to Muhram people. Except a smelling of fragrance is still there. We should not do that. Rest of the things after taqsir is allowed. Sir? Yeah. And also relationship and nikah of men and women is also still haram until the rest of the amal is done. So when we finish this amal, some people do go to Mecca. I remember I did it myself the first and second time I went. I went to Mecca, but it's not possible, not everyone can go. I know that. And I'm not recommending it. I'm just telling you as ahkam, it is possible that people go and do their after Mina A'mal, which is in Mecca, which is those five things. Tawaf, Salatul Tawaf, Sa'i, Tawafun Nisa, and Salatul Tawafun Nisa. These five. They go there and they do it and they come back. But I would say 99% of the people don't. They stay there and they do their wuquf. Because it is wajib, you have to have wuquf or staying in Mina on the 11th and 12th. So we can go on 12th, go to Mecca. So another part of wajibat was wuquf fil Mina on 11th and 12th. So usually until 11th of 12th night, we are there. And in the daytime, amal wajib is three times we hit. I mean, there are three pillars of shaitan. Every day we go and throw seven, we hit seven stones to each shaitan pillar. Every day of 11th and 12th. So remember, if you assume that for every seven hitting you need 10 stones, three of them go astray, that means you almost need 70 stones when you are collecting your stones. Because you do that two of three pillars in 2 days, that's six. And first day of Mina, we also do the Jamare Aghabe, which is seven times. For each time, if we need 10 stones, so we need total of 70 stones. And the name of the Mina, as we know that, and we read in some of the du'as, the Mina Ghulub al-Mushtaqeen. Mina means wishes and wills, and our dreamy wishes is called Mina or Mina. And we are supposed in there when we are doing sacrifice is being done for us. This is the last part that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was doing sacrificing the most beloved things he had, which was Hazrat Ismail, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the notion of the most beloved things we have in our life. We have to give them in the way of Allah. So there we have to be aware and conscious of these things. Then we finish from Mina, we go back to Mecca on the day of 12th. That is A'mal, it is called after Mina A'mal, which is done in Mecca. So we go back to Mecca to do after Mina Amal. Some people may call it after Mina, some people may not. But regardless of the name of it, after we finish Mina, the wuquf of the day of 12th, we all go back to Mecca. And in Mecca, we have those five Amal, which is identical to when the same things that we did it in Umrah. In our Umrah, we had all Tawaf and Salat Tawaf and Sa'i and Salat, Tawaf and Nisa and Salat. The only difference here is one is the Niyat. Though at the Umrah, the Niyat was for Umrah. Here, the Niyat is for Hajj Tamattu. That was for Umrah Tamattu. This is one difference. And the other difference, second difference is here, we can be out of Ihram. Because when we do finish and everything, when we come to Mecca, we can do it with normal clothes. And when it comes to niyat of salat, both salat of tawaf and salat of tawafun nisa, Also niyat becomes different here. That I do two rakat salat for tawaf al-nisa of umre tamattu. The previous one we used to say hajj tamattu. And make sure we do everything in peace and calmness and there is no difficulty in any of them. The only thing is we need a peace in us when we are doing all of this. And for tawaf al-nisa, this is one of the things, the differences that we have with Ahlul Sunnah. They don't have this tawaf al-nisa. And this tawaf al-nisa that we do it, if we don't do it, we become, husband and wife become non-mahram. They cannot live in this, they cannot have nikah until next year if they forget to do it. And even I was reading yesterday that even for people who are not married, if they do not perform tawaf al-nisa, they cannot marry until they come back and do tawaf al-nisa. So I just mentioned the importance of it. Bar Muhammad wa ala Muhammad salawat. I finished my Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. This week it was shorter because there was less of the things left for this week to say. I sent an email to, I think was also sent to all of you, or at least those who have left their email address, that if you wanted, I had prepared some a'mal by movie, which it shows clearly how to do it and what to do it in Arabic, in Farsi and English. And I asked if anyone wants to return my email so that I make a copy, but I received no one. So I said, Alhamdulillah, that everyone has learned so well, so no one needs any of these CDs. But still, if anyone thinks it's good to have, I show you just a sample of it so that you see what I'm talking about. This is the type of just tell me how many copies do I make in Arabic and 25 in Arabic.
Farsi, I got it.
So you don't need Farsi.
English for the brothers, if you can, as well, if you can. Three copies for Shireen, our brother, Muhammad.
Three copies.
Yeah, three copies. Four copies make it Farsi.
Okay, I make inshallah five Farsi. Let me write it down for myself.